Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity of gathering around your word. We thank you, Father, that your word is living, that it is powerful. We thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit inspired the writers. We thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit inspires us when we are open to the prompting of your Holy Spirit. And so, Holy Spirit of God, you are welcome here. We pray that you would do a work within us that we cannot do on our own, that the scriptures would come alive to us, that we would understand them, that we would apply them to our lives, and that we would desire to live by them. So we pray, Father, that you would inspire each one of us this morning to understand and to want to know you better. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I said earlier, we're spending the morning and evening service looking at Matthew chapter 6, verses 30 to 44. But we're not actually doing the part that you think we're going to be doing, because it's entitled in most of our Bibles, Jesus Feeds the 5,000. But we're not actually going to be looking at that. We're going to be looking at part of the story which we so readily pass over to get to the grand miracle, incredible miracle at the end of this passage. For most of you, you're about halfway through your summer holidays, in theory. We tend to think of July and August as being the months people get off on holiday. Some of you, as with the children, you've already had a summer holiday. Maybe some of you are looking forward to getting away on a summer holiday. Maybe some of you never get a summer holiday. But regardless of whether we're taking holidays or not, I want you to think about this word this morning that's on the screen, this idea of rest. It's an important word. It's not me giving license to any of you to just go home and put your feet up for the rest of the week and do nothing because the Reverend Johnson preached on rest on Sunday morning. That's not quite what we're thinking about this morning. But we are looking at something which is vitally important for each of our lives, and vitally important if we are indeed true disciples of Jesus Christ. So regardless as to where you are with your summer holidays, it's not going to be long before September comes around again. And when September comes, then the church awakens from its slumber over the summer and becomes alive. And some of you are thinking, oh goodness, that means when the summer finishes, we have to start this and we have to start that, and I have to make sure this is ready and that's ready. And I'm not here this morning to try and stress you in any way, because I know there are probably many of you who serve the Lord in this church, and you're glad of the summer break, and you're quite happy to have these few months off when there are no organizations. But soon that rest will be over, and the rest hopefully will have blessed you, and you will continue to serve the Lord in this place for him. But for all of us, there are times when we find ourselves just simply looking forward to having a break of some sort, a time off, or getting a holiday at the very least from whatever's currently going on in our lives. Kit Kat, that chocolate bar, encourage us to take a break so we can have a chocolate bar, preferably one of theirs. But there's also this strange feeling in society, and sometimes it's even in the church, which seems to suggest that you don't need to take a break. You've no need to rest from whatever it is that's going on in your life. You shouldn't have to take a break. Wanting or taking rest is sometimes seen as completely unnecessary. It's an unnecessary distraction. And to some people, they look at somebody who takes a rest as almost a sign of weakness. What's wrong with you? Why do you need to take a break? Why can't you just keep going like the rest of us? Which isn't strictly true. But is this how the Bible sees the idea of rest? In John's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 6, we read an account about Jesus. It says, Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. The Bible shows us that Jesus, even during his earthly ministry, needed to rest. That he took rest. We're just talking about simple physical rest here. He was fully God, but he was also fully man, and we can't ever try and separate those. Jesus was a man who felt hunger, he felt tiredness, he felt the need to rest his body in the same way as we all do. But much unlike most of us, when he was tired, he knew that the human body, this earthly tent that he lived in, he needed to take a rest because he understood how the body was constructed. After all, he was there. And he knows that if the body isn't looked after properly, then the body then doesn't function properly. Jesus understands our body because we read in Scripture that through him everything that was made through him and was made for him and for his glory. So not only did he understand that the human body needed rest, but he actually modeled it for us. As the designer, as the creator of this earthly tent we live in, as Paul refers to it, Jesus knows that inbuilt into each one of us is the need for rest. So there's the provision of rest. Here in Mark 6, Jesus knew that the disciples had been working fairly hard. If you started to read slightly further on, slightly earlier in Mark's Gospel chapter 6, you would have discovered that Jesus had taken time with his disciples and he'd commissioned them to go out and basically get involved in ministry and get involved in evangelism. He sent them out in twos so they could support each other. And he gave them lots of different instructions, but he also, more importantly, gave them his own personal authority so that they could cast out unclean spirits, we read, in his name. This was a work that they'd seen Jesus do a number of times. And now they were being asked to do it themselves. They were given no indication as to how long the disciples had been away. I think it's probably a fair guess to say it was probably at least a week, because there's talk of them doing work and then moving on to another town. And while they were away, something very important happened in Jesus' life as well. Jesus received news that his cousin John the Baptist had been beheaded by Herod. Now, this was no light news to Jesus. This didn't just wash over him as just something that happened. Jesus knew that this was going to happen. But that didn't make the loss any less. And so the disciples come back, and the disciples then want to talk to him about what's happened and what they've seen and what they've done. And Jesus shows himself to be sensitive to what they've all gone through. And he looks at them and he listens to their stories. And it becomes very apparent that he needs to get his disciples, we would say offside, he needs to get his disciples away from everywhere. Because we read that there wasn't even the opportunity to rest, because they hadn't even the chance to eat, because the people were milling around them so much. And Jesus had to say, let's get away from here. I want you to come away with me. He wanted them to retreat. He wanted them to be with him so he could effectively debrief them about what had just happened. In Mark 6, verse 31, we read, and he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. So what is the purpose of rest? Why do we do it? What's the purpose of rest? Well, first of all, surely it's to renew our strength. Isaiah 40, verses 29 to 31, he gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord, in other words, those who rest in the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Friends, we can't keep going. Sometimes we might think we can. Sometimes we want others to think we can. Sometimes others think we can. But we can't keep going. We're not made to run and run and run. If we do, the engine eventually burns out. The famous Scottish pastor, Robert Murray McShane, was one of the most powerful ministers to ever stand in the pulpits of Edinburgh and Dundee. But he died at the age of 29, partly because he had weakened his constitution by overwork, excessive busyness, and chronic fatigue. He reportedly said as he was dying, the Lord gave me a horse to ride and a message to deliver. Alas, I have killed a horse and cannot deliver the message. One of the purposes of rest is to renew our strength, especially when we're involved in service for the Lord, so that we can keep delivering the message. But another purpose of rest is to know peace. The disciples had been involved in some fairly heavy, testing, and exhausting ministry. It was demanding in many different ways. Let's be honest about this. If those of you who are involved in ministry in this congregation, you know, if you do ministry properly, it is tiring, it is wearisome, not just physically, not just emotionally, but it's also wearying spiritually. As a minister of a congregation, your minister will be working many hours that you never see him. Early in the morning, sometimes very often late at night. Sometimes he'll have to do a funeral and maybe a wedding in the same day. It's happened to me 2 or 3 times. And you have to change your emotions. You have to change your outlook. And your spirit is under pressure. And you have to have those times when you allow your body to rest. The spiritual aspect for each one of us involved in ministry also weighs heavily. We should be praying for those we minister to. If you're involved in any of the youth organizations, any of the children's organizations, you should be praying for those children, those young people. And that in itself is burdensome as well. And there comes a point when we need to draw away from the battle and find a place where we can have that rest. Jesus knew his disciples well. He knew them better than they knew themselves. And he knew his disciples needed to stop for a while. But he also knew that they needed to experience more than just rest, but they had to have that sense of peace as well. They needed to retreat. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 25 to 34, Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious about anything. Do not say, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first his kingdom, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. For tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." There has to be that sense of resting in the Lord, and that sense of peace, and trusting in him, knowing that he knows you better than you know yourself. Because it's only when we allow ourselves to experience peace that we really have the opportunity to reflect on the words of the Lord and really allow them to filter into our souls. If we're anxious about things, then God's word is prevented from filtering properly into our souls. But if we have that peace that passes understanding, then his word works deep into our hearts and minds. At all other times, we acknowledge them. We affirm them, yes, we understand God's word, but it's only really during times of peace that we can allow them to properly minister to us. Let me ask you a question. I'm not asking for hands up or anyone to answer, but have you given yourself time recently to be at peace, to meditate on the Lord's word, to pray, not as part of what you maybe have as a daily routine, but to take that time away with the Lord where you speak to him as a friend would speak to a friend, where you explain those issues to him, where you allow him in moments of quietness to talk back to you. Because it's possible that if you're not actually building these times of peace, these times of rest into your life, these times of being with the Lord, that you're somehow relying on your own strength to get you through that day, or you're relying on your own strength to get you through that week, or whatever it is you're trying to cope with. It's interesting to note that Jesus didn't send his disciples away for a retreat, but rather he said to them, "Come away with me." Without Jesus, the time would simply have been a physical rest. it might have been an opportunity, yes, to think of some of the things that had happened, but not proper reflection. Without Jesus, it would have been a time wasted. With him, the rest he gives, the peace he offers, is something completely different. Because there's a character to the rest that Jesus wants to give us. Within the rest that Jesus offers, there is that sense of absence of fear and anxiety. This wasn't the first time the disciples had been in the boat with Jesus. Certainly not in Mark's gospel. Those of you who know your Bibles well enough know the first time was back in chapter 4. Mark 4, verses 37 to 38. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he, that's Jesus, was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" You remember the story? And at the moment, Jesus got up and he calmed the storm. And they were shocked, we read. They were shocked because he had authority over the wind and over the waves. And yet here in Mark 6, this is the second time that he suggested that they take a boat. And they head away to a quiet place to rest. And I'm sure as they were thinking about this, some of them were remembering the last time that they got in a boat with Jesus and what happened. And some of them were reminded that while the storm raged around them, they had nothing to fear because Jesus was with them. Everything was under his control. If Jesus could do it the last time, we have nothing to fear. Why should we worry this time? Jesus has already shown himself to be strong, even over the waves and the wind. Because you know, friends, the Christian life is a life that has to be lived in faith. Not in theory, but in faith. Without Christ in your life, you spend your time crossing your fingers and hoping that things will just be okay. Without Christ, you have no point of reference to the last time when he was there for you. So you have no opportunity of reflecting and saying, he was there for me before. Why should I doubt him the next time? Without Christ, you're often filled with fear and with anxiety. The rest that he offers each one of us today is a rest where fear and anxiety are absent. Without Christ, you're like sheep without a shepherd. But with Christ, you have the assurance that he is in control, that he knows fully what is going to happen. And he's promised to be with you throughout that moment and into the future. The difference between the rest the world offers us and the rest that Jesus offers is down to one simple fact: the presence of God. Exodus 30, verse 14, Jesus speaking to Moses and the children of Israel. God said, "My presence will go with you. I will give you rest." The presence of Jesus Christ was even in the story of Exodus, moving with Moses and the children of Israel. The children of Israel crossing the wilderness, God promised his presence with them, that he would be there and he would give them the rest that they needed. To the disciples crossing over to this other side of the lake on this boat, Jesus promised his presence with them. And Jesus promises his presence with us in a form of rest that could only come from being with him and experiencing the fullness of Jesus Christ. To us today, those of us sitting here in this church, whatever your circumstances might be, Jesus promises you a rest like no other. A promise of his presence in the middle of the storms that are going on in your lives. The uncertainty upon which you're currently sailing. The promise of rest that the sins that perhaps seem to have taken over your life can be dealt with. Can be forgiven, can be removed. The promise of Jesus is so beyond anything this world can offer us. The difference between you this morning and those of who know his rest, and there are probably some here today who know the rest within Jesus Christ far better than I can ever preach it, but maybe you're this morning here and you're hesitant about taking that step of faith and putting that your trust in the Lord. But the difference between you and those who've been walking and understanding that is that simple step. The disciples had to take a step from the land into that boat, trusting that Jesus would be there with them. And friends, if you want to know the full peace of Jesus Christ, it begins with that step of faith. The disciples had already come through a very tough spell of ministry. Some of them were perhaps encouraged. Some of them are probably in some sort of spiritual high because of the things they'd seen and the things that had happened. Others were maybe struggling with some of the things that they'd seen, some of the things that they'd heard, the disappointments that had come their way. And there may have been a reluctance to take the rest that Jesus was offering. Oh, I'm grand. Honestly, I'm fine. I'm fine. I don't need to go for a rest. Trust me, everything's fine. Or maybe it was a case of, look, if it's all the same to you, I'd really rather not go. I'm just not up to it at the moment. I'm just not in the right frame of mind. And yet, regardless of how the disciples were coping, we read in verse 32, and they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. They all went away. A step of faith into the boat with Jesus because this was the only place they wanted to be. Friends, I don't know you. I don't know where you are with the Lord at the moment. But if you're not allowing his presence into your life, if you're currently fighting whatever it is you're fighting all alone, if you're not accepting the rest that he, through his living word, is offering to you today, then I believe you're making a serious mistake. Rest, true rest, can be found in no other than Jesus. And today he offers each one of us rest through faith to those who would believe and accept it. The final aspect, or the final characteristic of rest, comes when our time in life is finished. And it's quite interesting that we spend those moments singing that song together soon and very soon. Because there's the opportunity through Christ to experience peace in death. Because death is something we all have to face. It's the full stop that we all have in our lives. You cannot avoid it. Somebody once said the only two things we're certain of in this life are death and taxes. I cannot deny it will happen because it's always happened. We cannot pretend that somehow we'll escape it. It causes fear to rise in many of us, and it robs us of our peace, the peace that we should know in the Lord. Death is the last great enemy. Death, however, has been defeated through Jesus Christ. It will come, but it has been completely stripped of its power when Christ died on the cross. He died the death that should have been ours, but which now, through faith in him, we no longer have to worry because it no longer has any power over us. Jesus wants those of us who are his disciples to know this reality and to accept it in faith. And he wants us to rest in the knowledge of what he has already done for us, that he has already gone ahead of us into death. He wants us to know that not only can we trust him in this life, but we can also trust him and rest in the face of death, to know that death has no power over us, to know that he has gone to prepare a place, an eternal place where there will be no more death, no more pain, no more sorrow, because the former things have passed away. And he desperately wanted his disciples to understand this. And he wants us to understand it today. He wants us to rest our faith in him. And that's why he told them these words of comfort. And with these words I finish. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Let's pray together. Father God, so often when we hear the word rest, we think of only one thing, and that's just a drawing aside of from whatever we're doing, putting our feet up, having a nap. And yet, Lord, your word is so much more important. To rest in Jesus is the most fulfilling thing we could do for our souls as we prepare ourselves to go back into ministry in September, to prepare ourselves to deal with awkward situations in our life. Lord, we cannot do these things in our own strength. You have not asked us to do so, but you've asked us to come to you and allow you to minister to us so that we feel the sense of rest and the peace that comes through Jesus Christ. To trust in your word, to trust in your promises, and then to step out refreshed once more into whatever form of ministry you've called us, so that one day we will enter our eternal rest without fear, because you've gone ahead of us and you're waiting there for us soon and very soon. Lord, for some of us, it may be sooner than we realize. And so we pray that we will get to know you before we stand before you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We've just been thinking about the peace that we have through resting in the Lord. And we're going to sing the words, may the peace of God, our Heavenly Father, and the grace of Christ, the risen Son. Let's use these words to glorify God as we stand together to praise him.